All right, lecture three, establishing a recruiting vision for men's ministry. So this specifically is for those of you that want to start a ministry. Maybe you're in a men's ministry and, you know, if you're part of the leadership, maybe you have to sit back and think about what your vision is. Maybe you've never written out the vision, but there is a vision. Every organization has a vision, whether they've written it down or whether they know it or not. Everyone has a vision. So what is it? And what could it be? Okay. But if you're starting a men's ministry, or you're thinking about starting a men's ministry, and you don't have people yet, you don't have other men, you need to recruit some men. You want to recruit a leadership team. You don't want to just start things, because then you're the hub of the wheel and all the spokes come to you, and then you have to do everything. That's a lot of pressure. It's better to start with a group of people that will share the leadership role. But how do you get that group of people? Well, you got to talk to them, but you have to share what it is that you want to do and what that would look like, and why you are talking to this person, and why you want them to help. So what is all of that? So vision from heaven. This is, you know, Paul. Paul is on his way to Rome. He's been arrested. He appealed to Caesar. And he comes before these different political leaders. And they're questioning him. And Paul tells his testimony. And in his testimony to King Agrippa, he says this: "So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven." He talks about the vision from heaven, that he was ordained by God to go to the Gentiles and to preach Christ. So he went and did that. And here's the thing about a vision from heaven. If a person feels like they have a vision from heaven, this is, God has given me this vision, that person will not stop pursuing that vision. All the roadblocks, all the problems, all the naysayers, people say, no, that's not right, that can't be done, you can't do this, doesn't matter. I have a vision from God himself, and I have to stick with this vision. Yeah, but you're not succeeding. Doesn't matter. Success. You know, God just told me to do this. He didn't say it would succeed. He didn't say it would work. I'm not saying we don't learn from our mistakes, but what I'm saying is, if you feel you have a vision from heaven, then you go at it. You know, whatever the roadblock is, you do something about it. Oh, you don't know enough. Well, then I'll learn enough. Oh, you can't do this. Well, let's see if I can. I can't do this. I'll find someone else who can. I'm going to follow through with the vision that God has given me. So you start with a vision. So before I tell you anything, you should probably turn this off and sit down and write down, why do you want to do this? What do you want to do? What's your vision for this thing? And I know you don't have all the tools yet, okay? So this initial vision that you might come up with, it might have a lot of holes in it. And then you need to do this whole thing. What's your, you know, answer the question, what is your vision, after you've learned a bunch of things? You learn a bunch of things, you go, okay, now I have a clear view of what's involved and what the vision could be. Okay, but right now you already have a vision. Maybe it isn't well developed. Maybe it's just, I see men and they're hurting and they have a need and I feel God is calling me, and that's the end. Sum totally of your vision. You have no idea what to do. That's fine. That's fine. See, the strength of a vision often is that it wasn't from you. When you get a sense that God is calling you, then how would I stop? I have to keep going at this regardless of what's happening or how successful it is until God releases me. God calls me. You know, this is why I'm doing it. That was Paul. You can see that in the life of Paul. There was nothing. He could get beaten. He could get abused. He can get people saying the nastiest things about him, but he just kept going. Spiritual transformation. So what might a vision include? Let me give you a few things that you start thinking about in terms of your own vision for this thing. Spiritual transformation. We want to affect men spiritually. You know, men are taught, you know, in school, they're at work, they learn a bunch of things, they're trying to do this, but their main role is to be a spiritual leader in their own family. And most men aren't prepared at all. Who has helped them? Maybe they go to church and they hear a sermon once a week on Sunday. But who specifically is trying to help them be the transformational spiritual leader of their own family, a spiritual leader in their workplace, a spiritual leader in their community? So how do we do that together as men? Discipleship and equipping. Yeah, men need to learn. Jesus took this group of people, some, you know, from totally different walks of life, and he discipled them. Moses, when he took people out of the desert that had been slaves for 400 years, they didn't know who they were. And God gave the law, and they organized around the tabernacle, and each tribe was arranged in a specific place. They got organized, they got equipped, they got discipled. Here's who we are. This is what we're about. This is how we live. And they became something. Men need that. They need to be a part of something that helps them, you know, be equipped. They want this, right? They learn for business. They learn in sports. They want to learn in the spiritual dimension as well. Authentic relationships. Again, we talked about, you know, why men need a men's ministry. It's because they live in a competitive world and they create a hard shell around them. And often they don't have authentic relationships because, number one, they're competing with the men around them, or they're hiding all their weaknesses, all their unfinished thoughts, their questions about God and the universe and their place and their purpose. It's all bottled away. And so a lot of men have just work-related relationships with other men, or very surface, hey, how are you, Bob? Yeah, good to see you kind of relationship, but not an authentic relationship that goes to a deeper level where people can question who they are and, you know, ask questions about, you know, parenting and marriage and the things that are really important to men, but they don't have a place to actually talk about these things. And they don't have a good friend that they can confide in, that they can share something personal, and open up maybe the weak part of themselves without someone judging them and thinking less of them. Leadership development. Men want to lead. They want to be worth, you know, leadership is really just having someone who's following. You're a leader when someone's following. When someone is looking at you saying, I want to be like that. So if you're a father, you're a leader by definition. And most fathers want to be good leaders. I want to lead my sons well. I want to be a good example at my church. I want to be a good example in my neighborhood. I want to be a good example of what Christ is. I want to be a good model. Well, how, you know, most men, on the one hand, they want to be good leaders, but on the other hand, they feel insecure about the whole thing. I can't lead. Moses, I can't lead. Here Moses had all the advantages that anyone could possibly had, You know, God orchestrated his life so that he experienced all kinds of different things. And now he's called to lead. He goes, well, I can't do it because I can't speak. Really? But that's what we all do. We want to be leaders, but we need to be shown how. We need to be put into places where we lead, where we grow, where we fail, and yet people accept us anyway, and we get to try again, and we improve. Service and mission. Okay? Men need to be a part of something that helps. Part of the vision that we as human beings have is to be of some value somewhere, somehow, to someone. We feel good when we do something and it helped somebody. When we help our kids succeed, it feels good. When we help someone at work succeed, it feels good. That's what management is all about. You manage a group of people and you help them do something they couldn't do on their own. That's what coaching is all about. Recruitment vision. Maybe you need a vision. I'm just going to give you, you know, off the top of my head what it could be, but you need to write your own. Because remember, this is, you're using this stuff. You got to have at least something that you tell other men. This is why, what I want to do, this is why I want to do it, and this is why I need you. You should write those things down. I don't have those in the course, but why are you doing it? Why should men be a part of your thing? And I forget the other one. You have to go back and listen to it on the tape. Anyway, here's my little vision. To see men transformed by the power of the gospel, growing in their relationship with God, equipping them to lead with integrity, and empowering them to impact their families, their communities, and the world. So it's, you know, a vision often has two things. It starts small, like you, a vision for you walking with God. If a man isn't walking with God, why in the world would we want him leading his family? So it's got to start there. You got to have a vision to help men in their own walk with God. And then developing that to help others. That's really all there is. Yeah, the Ten Commandments, the first four commandments deal with our relationship to God. Next six commandments deal with our relationship to others. That's all there is. You want to help men connect with God and then use what they get from that connection to God with others. Help them to connect to God. In their marriage, in their family, in their friendship circle, in their church, in their community, in the world. All right. Again, share, you know, something in this. Sit down. You know, if you don't do it, nothing's going to happen. So sit down. Do it. Write it. Write a one-page vision thing, you know. The questions that I asked, some of the material here, take, borrow, steal, whatever it is, but come up with a one-page thing and then go to five men and go, what do you think of this? What do you think of this? What do you think of this? Now, you can do that. Oh, I'm not a salesman. Don't be a salesman. Just write it out and hand it to somebody and ask, simple, what do you think of this? And let the chips fall where they may. God's blessing as you try to do that. We'll see you next time.